This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
There's quite a few of you that I don't know or haven't seen in a while, so welcome. My name is Jolene. Richard's the pastor, so you're in safe hands. I just minister as I feel led. Rosita's word was just so from the Lord for me. It was just, and the worship as well. And I realize that's why we come together. We don't come to hear a sermon or to tick a box that we were there on Sunday. We come to encounter God. So I'm going to pray for us. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that we don't deserve you. We've never deserved you, but it's not about that. It's about you loving and wanting to walk with us in the cool of the day. We just thank you that the God of the universe would grace us with your presence, with your fellowship, with your companionship. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to us this morning, that you would set your people free, that you would give us perspective on this new season. And that you would speak to us. Lord, we're here to hear from you. We're not here to meet with man. We're here to meet with you. We just glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was supposed to share beginning of December last year. And I had my word, and I felt actually God spoke to me at the end of October already. And then we unfortunately had to close the church. So this word has truly been brewing, and I found myself quite often kind of impromptu preaching it to the kids almost, you know. This is what God is saying, and the kids are like, huh, mama? But I just realized, like Richard said, it's been stirring inside, but I know God is on time. He knew that today would be the day for me to share it, so I'm excited to share what I feel God has placed on my heart. But firstly, I just want to know whose kids have gone back to school last week. Some kids, yes, I see some kids. How did it go? Okay. And whose kids are going back on Wednesday? We're all saying praise God for 6 weeks of holiday. We're all going to return to sanity. So God bless the church and the moms and the dads. Bless the stationery lists and the many things you need to get. And the homeschool parents, all the best. We will pray and intercede for you, us mere mortals. So what happened last year was at the end of October, there's been a couple, like we all know, COVID has been quite difficult for a number of people in the valley, have lost their jobs or been retrenched, unfortunately, over the last 2 years. And we've had quite a number of people in church that have been trusting God for breakthrough in the area of finances, provision, jobs, things like that. And in October, middle of October, towards the end of October last year, in 1 week, I think it was about three or four people that have been trusting God for months for breakthrough, let us know, God came through, I got this amazing job, God came through, I got the promotion I've been trusting God for, and I'm a little bit slow. So by the third or the fourth one, I was driving back from Stellenbosch, and there by Boschendal, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, it's a new season. It's a season of breakthrough. Do you see it? And then it clicked, and I was like, of course, it is a new season. And I started telling Richard, it's a new season. The people are getting breakthrough. It's a new season. And then after that, I think two or three more people got breakthrough in that area. And I felt so strongly God saying that my seasons are not necessarily with a calendar year, that my seasons is dependent on my word. I proclaim the new season. And when I say it's a new season, it's a new season. Whether your calendar says it's a new season or not, when God speaks a word into your life, that's the one that's got the power to change everything. And the following week, you will not believe it, I wrote the date down. It was on the 27th of October that I felt God speak to me. And on that Sunday, we did the launch of the Healing Center, and we had to raise the money, which I thought personally, I didn't know how it would happen. I didn't think about it because it's way too much money for our little church. But within a week, we had a commitment for the full 1.5, 1.75 million rand that we need for the building there at the top. And I was blown away again. I was like, how did this happen? And Rich and I were like, what is God doing? And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, but I declared it's a new season. I declared it's the season for breakthrough. So why are you doubting? And then, sorry, for those who are visiting or getting a little bit of a oversight of what we've been going through as a church family. But then you will know the very next month, we celebrated our 40th anniversary or 40th birthday as a church. This church have been here for 40 years in Front Chuck. How amazing is that? And I felt God speaking to me into the number 40. And that's where the message of this morning is coming from, is that there's a spiritual significance around the number 40. If you go and look in the Bible, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And after that, he was released into his ministry. The people of Israel, which we're going to speak about this morning, was not exactly the plan of God to keep them in the wilderness for 40 years. But yet, they missed their opportunity the first time around. But the second time, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, a whole generation. But then after 40 years, they had the opportunity again to cross over into the promised land. So I feel I'm going to declare it this morning. If you're a visitor, you are welcome. God is no respecter of persons. If he declares it's a new season for you, you take it this morning. But for us as a church, us as a shofar, Front Chuck, I'm prophesying that it's a new season. And we will not miss our opportunity. Because you see what happened was, and we're going to get to the scriptures now, but what happened was with the Israelites in their wilderness, the first time around, they had the opportunity. The opportunity was there to cross over, to go into the promised land. But they, which we're going to look at now, what happened when those 12 spies came back, they missed out on their opportunity. And can you imagine living your whole life knowing that you missed out on going into the promised land? And the worst thing is you knew you could have gone in. I don't actually know. I thought last night, I wondered what happened to those 10 spies. I guess they weren't the most popular at any party. Because they had to, the fact of the matter is, and I suppose it's quite harsh, but that's the fact is that they caused, the way they reported back on the promised land and what they saw there, caused the whole nation of Israel, that whole generation, to miss out on their destiny. And that made me realize that not everybody will go, not everybody will get into their promised land. That's the sad reality. But the good thing is, there's an opportunity. And if you're willing to say, God, I want to cross over. I want to get all that you've got for me on this side of eternity. He's going to help you. He's going to let you cross over, even if there's only two of you in a nation of how many million. Joshua and Caleb, man, they crossed over. Moses didn't even make it. I thought about Moses didn't even make it. But praise God, we've got the Holy Spirit. So the promised land, that's what we're going to speak about this morning, and we're going to get to the scriptures. But what I think most of you, you're mostly familiar with the Old Testament, the promised land, the Israelites journaling in the wilderness for about 40 years, and then they get back to the place where God is saying to Moses, right, I'm giving these guys another opportunity. Moses, you're not going to take them over, but Joshua will take them across into the promised land. And that is why God said to Joshua, only be strong, because can you imagine? Moses did all the miracles in Egypt. He did all the mighty things, yet he couldn't cross over. He couldn't get these people into the promised land. But Joshua, you're going to do it. So I can imagine Joshua sabine het lekker gebewe. But so they have another opportunity. But you must remember, in this promised land, there are a couple of things that we need to remember. Like I said, the first thing is you need to decide. They had to decide whether they're going to cross over or not. It was not, they didn't have to. The first time around, they decided to, for fear, and we're going to look in a couple of things of why that decision was taken. But the first time, they decided to not do it. So the second time round, it's like God was saying, I'm giving you another opportunity. Are you going to choose to cross over? And that's what Rosita also said this morning. It's our choice. Do we give God our full heart, or are we just trying to get into heaven one day? Are we saying, no, God, I want all of it. Everything you've got for me this side of eternity, that's what I've got. So it's our decision as a church, as an individual. Your promised land will, it's easy in Bible terms. We look and we see, oh, they go to the land of milk and honey and the big grapes. And we see that in the kids' Bibles. But in our lives, it's different. You have a promised land in your marriage. You have a promised land with your children, your relationships, your business. I want to ask you, have you asked God, what does my promised land look like? What is my calling? What do you want me to cross over into? So it's our decision whether we cross over. And then the second thing we need to know is there are giants. There are giants and they are what they call fortified cities. Cities with big walls, double walls, really high walls. They are really intimidating giants in the promised land. And often what happens is we get into our promised land, we get our baby that we've been trusting God for and we've been praying for, and goodness, he doesn't sleep. He just screams all night. And then you're like, how is this my promised land? This is not working. Nobody's sleeping. God, what have you done? And we're going to look at it now. Some of the Israelites said, it's because God hated us. That's why he brought us here. He hates us. Clearly, he hates me. He's not allowing me to sleep. So God is, there are giants and there are fortified cities in your promised land. And those giants will look different and the cities will look different for each of us. But often what happens is when we face challenges or giants or whatever you want to call it in your life, we immediately start thinking, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Or clearly I'm at the wrong place. I shouldn't be here. And I'm not saying that it's always the case, but many times it's actually God saying, no, you're exactly at the right place. You just need to push through. You've got my Holy Spirit. You need to stand strong. You need to listen to what I'm telling you and take it one step at a time. So for some of you, actually this morning, I feel God is saying, you're not at the right place. Just because there are challenges doesn't mean you're at the wrong place. You're at exactly the right place. That giant is a giant that you need to slay. Because that's the third thing. In the promised land, the manna stopped. Have you guys read that in the Bible? As they crossed over, is it the Jordan? Whatever the river is. I can't always remember. I think it's the Jordan. Thank you. As they crossed over the Jordan, the manna stopped. The supernatural provision stopped. And it said there that for the first time, they ate of the produce of the land. So you move, when you go out of in the wilderness, this is a sermon for another day, but I'll touch on it. In the wilderness, they just, listen, God said, up and out, we're moving. The cloud is lifting. We are walking. Pack up your tent. We are going. So it was a slave relationship, a slave-master relationship. Does that make sense? I tell you what to do, and you listen. And we all start there in our relationship with God, but at some stage you cross over your Jordan into your promised land, and then God says, now the manna stops. Now I am blessing the work of your hand. Remember, we've spoken about this. The Holy Spirit comes and he puts his hand on your hand, and he's saying the supernatural will now happen through you and not necessarily just to you. God might still provide you with manna if that's how he chooses to do it. But we need to realize that as we cross our Jordans into our promised land, there is a change almost in relationship. We become sons and daughters of God. And a son and a daughter, if William comes and asks me, Mom, I'm hungry, then I'm like, well, the fridge is full of food, my boy. Just take whatever you want. You don't need to come and ask me if you want food if you live in the house. If you at somebody else's house, please do ask. Don't just take. But in my house, you are a son. You are a daughter. You come and tell me, Mom, I don't want to do tennis anymore. I want to do hockey or whatever. Okay, let's talk about it. Why do you want to do that? All right, let's have a discussion about this. Because we have a son, a father who is interested in not, like Richard said last week, providing robots. He wants us to engage. So when we cross over into our promised land, we must realize the relationship is not one of God. There are times that God is the commander of the armies of Israel, and he will tell you what to do, and you do it, because you know the Lord has spoken. But most of the times, God wants us to engage with him. God wants us to speak to him. God is asking, what is on your heart? What do you want to do? Let me tell you about what's on my heart. So those are kind of the three things that I want us to remember as we start. We're going to start in Numbers 13. So we're going to pick up the story at the beginning of the 40 years. But what I want us to see is we're going to look at the difference. Remember the 12 spies that went into Moses and Aaron sent the 12 spies into the promised land to say, go and check it out. see what the people look like, see what the land looks like, and then come and tell us. I think they also went for 40 days, mind you. They also went for 40 days and they spied out the land. And we are going to look at, and you probably know all these things. I'm not telling you anything new. But what I am trusting for is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you what you need to hear this morning. So we're going to look at, why did Joshua and Caleb make it, but 10 others didn't? What was the difference? Because we see that all 12 went to the same land. They didn't see a different land. But yet we're going to read first Numbers 13, only two verses there, verse 27 and 28. So we first see there that these are the 10 that were kind of a little bit scared. This is their report back to Moses on what the land looks like. And it says, and they told him, who is Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. So they saw the same land. It's beautiful. They didn't doubt that the land was beautiful. And this is its fruit. Remember, they brought the big grapes back. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, they saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak, those are the giants, physical giants. I don't think they were small people like we are. Those are real-time giants. So these 10 came back and they said, look, Moses, Aaron, yes, the land is beautiful. It is amazing. But there are some giants there. There are big people there. And then we turn the page to Numbers 14, verse 7 to 9, and then we see now these 10 spies, this is their report. And then Joshua and Caleb comes in and says, no, wait. And they say there, and they spoke to the people, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. So they're saying, yes, we agree with the 10. It's beautiful. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Don't you love that? I told Richard, how is that for perspective? They are our bread. The other people are like, no, they are giants. And like, no, they are bread. I love it. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And we're going to look at just a couple of things, two or three things, and then we're going to end, as to why, what is the difference here? And like I said, you probably see it already. But I'm almost just going to remind you. And the first thing that I want us to see is that here in Numbers 14, we see that Joshua and Caleb, they're saying the Lord is with us. Their eyes are not locked on the giants. They are seeing God is with us. They remember God did all those miracles in Egypt, and that God is with us. God is with us, so we can do. It's not that they're not seeing the giants, but their God is bigger than their giants. But if you go, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 1, verse 27. I think I've got it all up there. You'll see there that it says that Moses is now reminding after 40 years, 40 years has passed, and in Deuteronomy we are. And Moses is reminding the people and saying, you remember 40 years ago what happened? And this is what you said. You said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So these people, the other 10, and the nation of Israel, their perspective, their view of who God is and how he feels about them is that God hates us. That's why he's done that. Now we look from outside. How many of you know it's quite easy to look into someone else's life and see, or into, we do marriage counseling quite a bit. And I think the biggest thing that we can do is we stand outside. We're not emotionally as involved as the couple. So it's much easier on the outside to see there are only one or two issues. It's actually not such a big deal. You'll actually be okay. But while you're in it, you don't see it. Whereas these guys, while they were in it, they didn't see it. We see it from the outside, that their view of God and how God feels about them, there's a difference between the two and the 10. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you think when you think about what is God's view of me, of Jolene? What is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it something like, He's a good daddy that goes in the snow on the bicycle to provide for his family. That's much how much he loves us. That got me. That's our Father's heart. He loves you. He will go out in the snow, in the cold. Rosita's from Europe, for those who don't know. So she knows about snow and cold. We don't know about cold and snow, yeah? But that's a Father's heart. Our God is a good, good Father. But if you don't see how God views you, if you see him as, sure, he hates me, that's why he gave me this difficult husband. He must be teaching me endurance. Then I want to challenge you and ask you, go ask the Holy Spirit, show me the heart of the Father for me. Because that's the first thing. The second thing I want us to see is that, and when we read Numbers 14, verse 9, you'll see it there, and I spoke about it when we read. It's just Joshua and Caleb's view, their perspective on the giants. They're not saying there are no giants, because that's not helping. Just denying a problem doesn't cause it to disappear. We can't just be ostriches and stick our heads in the sand and say, well, I'm just going to ignore the bank statement. Let's just not look at it. If I don't look at it, it doesn't exist. That's not faith. That's not what God calls us to. He's saying, look at it and then see what I see. Have my perspective. That bank statement is not a giant. It is your bread. That's what Joshua and them are saying. They are saying, bring it on, because my God is with me. But the others didn't have that perspective. They couldn't see past the physical. And we have the advantage of the New Testament. I don't know what the people in the old time did. They didn't have the Word of God. And we know Ephesians 2 verse 6. I'm not going to read it. It's up there. It says there, and we've spoken about this many times last year, is that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ. That means that when I go and I remind myself I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ, Holy Spirit, give me a revelation that I am not here, but I am looking at my life, at this world, at Franschhoek, at South Africa, from your perspective. Because I am not seated here. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. Colossians 2, 3 verse 3 says, I am in Christ. That's my position. I'm not under the devil. I'm not under my circumstances. I'm in Christ. And that is why we will stop everything in the worship and say, engage with God. The Lord is speaking. Because it's not my words or Richard's word or the music that's going to change your life. It's once you get the heaven's perspective, Jesus' perspective on your life, and realizing who you are and the authority that Jesus gave you. That will change everything. Because then you realize the devil surely is under my feet. That is not just a song. It is a reality. That's what Jesus died for. You know, earlier this week I got a word from a friend of mine. She's in America. And she sent me this word. And I thought, how amazing. It resonated so much with me. She said she saw me on a Ferris wheel. You can put up the picture there. Carnival ding. You see that big wheel there at the top? And she said she saw me and Jesus at the top in one of these little things. And she said she feels God saying it's a year of perspective. And I was like, oh, just confirming the sermon and with the word that I feel. And it's like, she says, while you're up there, God gives you perspective and revelation. But the wheel is turning and then you get into the chaos of life. And at the bottom, and this picture, there are many Ferris wheel pictures on the internet. But this one I picked because here at the bottom, that's life. The kids are screaming. The roster is happening. Life is happening. The roof needs to be fixed. The work needs to happen. My wife doesn't understand or whatever it is. The dishes needs to be. My dishwasher broke this week. You that have a dishwasher like a Lach Liesel, luckily my handyman fixed it 3 days later. But let me tell you, that caused a little bit of a hiccup in our lives here at the bottom. But while you at the bottom, life happens. And sometimes we don't see because we're busy and we're in it. But that's why it's important to go back up, to spend time with God, to get into worship, get into his presence. Because that's where he gives you perspective on the challenges. That's where he gives you the everything you need to know. And that's where he gives you the revelation for when you go down again. Because down you're going to go, because that's life. I wish we could all worship all day, but that's not what we're called to do. So I want to encourage you, Joshua and Caleb had God's perspective. And we have the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, give me perspective. What is going on here? What do I need to do? What do I need to do differently? What do you want from me? How do I cross over into my promised land in this or that area of my life? And then the last thing that I want to speak about is you're going to, if you read the scriptures again at home, you're going to see that the way Joshua and Caleb spoke about the promised land and declared, your words have got power. And we spoke about this last week with the baby dedication. Our words have got power. And we don't just prophesy when we're spiritual or in church. When I tell my child, and we all know that, you're really stupid. You really cannot read. What is wrong with you? That's prophesying. Our words have got power to create. And us as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, and we can ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is the word of God over my marriage, over my business, over this year, over 2022, for my family, for my life? And let's partner with what God is saying. And God said, these giants are not giants. They are your bread. They are. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. I told Richard, I don't know theologically what is the correlation there, but the bread is the giants are the bread. But how are we, what are we saying about the challenges in our lives? Ezekiel 37, I'm not going to go there. You all know that. About God speaking to Ezekiel and saying to him, speak to these dry bones, Ezekiel. Because you are in your promised land, Ezekiel. I'm not going to speak to them. I will create through you. I will create through your words and your life. You're going to speak to those people, those dry bones, and command an army to rise up. But it's God's word in our mouth that's got the power. But I want to ask you, what are you speaking? Are you speaking words of life? Or are you, it sounds hectic, but do you curse? Are you speaking death over your promised lands? I'm going to end with a testimony. I have no idea how it relates, but I feel quite strongly that God wants me to share this testimony, so bear with me. I have shared, for those that have been in church in the last year, I have shared it once or twice. I'm going to try not to cry. In beginning of 2019, I read a book called Defining Moments, and the author basically took a couple of people, about 13 or 15 people's lives, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Randy Clark, Ali Wesley, all the revivalists, not all of them, but he took a couple, and he went and he studied their life, and it was just one chapter on each guy or lady, and he looked at what changed, because they were kind of ordinary people, and then at some stage, they encountered God, and their lives just radically changed. And I read this book, and I've been serving God for 20, 25 years. I've not been backslidden for the last 20. So I wasn't backslidden in 2019, but I read this book, and I don't know how to tell you. I think once you've had a hunger for God, you will know and I bless you all with that. It is a gift. It is a gift. And we pray that over our children, and we pray it over you guys. I told Richard in that time, whether you want it or not, I'm praying it for you as well. But what happened to me, I read that book and there was this holy dissatisfaction with my relationship with God. I was like, there is more. It's like all of a sudden the scales came off my eyes and I realized there's more on this side of eternity. I don't have to wait. And I heard God's voice daily. It's not about hearing God's voice. It's just I realized that there is more of God. There's more of His Holy Spirit. Yes, I pray in tongues, but there's more. And for 2 years, bless Richard's soul, I would fight with him because we get frustrated. And then obviously it's not my fault, you know. It's his fault. So I would fight with him. And then he would say, my love, I'm praying for you, but I can't. And then other times I would be, I'm just going to be content. I'm just going to leave it. And then for a month or two, I would leave it. And then I'd be excited again. No, but God promised more. So I went through this cycle for 2 years. And last year, February, I had a meeting, an online meeting here in church. And I don't know, the internet struggled at home. So I was sitting here on the ground. And when the meeting finished, this is the part I felt I must share. The meeting finished, I closed my laptop, and the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, came. And this is where I need to cross over and face my giants. In the past, this is what I've shared with you. But what happened was, I felt like my body was going to shake out of its sockets. For about an hour and a half, it felt like electricity went up and down my body. It was not extremely comfortable. It happened 2 or 3 times after that again, in my quiet time. But in the past, I have not shared that part because of fear of man. And the end of last year, I felt God saying, I want you to tell people what I did in your life. And I said, God, we're leading a church. We're trying to get people back into church, not chase them away. And I felt God saying, you want more of me? You need to be vulnerable. You cannot have a grain of fear of man. You see, I'm not after physical manifestations. But if that's what God needs to do to shake stuff out of my life that doesn't need to be there, I'm signing all up. God, shake me till I'm blue. Because I want all of him. And you know what? Initially, the first thing that disappeared was, I didn't have that dissatisfaction, that onrustigheid. Richard said I was onrustig for 2 years. I had peace. I had peace in me. No, I'm not less hungry. In fact, I'm more hungry. Because in the kingdom of God, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. The more you taste and see that the Lord is good, the hungrier you get. In the natural, when we're hungry, we eat. When you're not eating, you become hungry. In the spiritual, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. So what happened was, the first thing I saw is peace. There's peace within me. The second thing I saw about a month later, and that's one of the biggest things that changed in my life, is there was a knowing that the Holy Spirit is with me. Up until that point, I always tried to convince myself that the Holy Spirit is with me. When I pray for something, for somebody, I don't really know what's going to happen. You know, if something's going to happen, will God do something? Will he not do something? I don't know. Now, I know. And I don't know how he's going to touch you. I do not know when he's going to heal you, but I know he's the healer. And I don't know how it's going to look or when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen because I know God. And God met me that day. And for me to get to that knowing is something that is settled in my soul. And that's what I feel happened that night to me. But there are some giants that you need to face. And for me, it was the dissatisfaction. And I wanted to leave it, and I wanted to pursue it, and then I wanted to leave it again. But I felt God saying, you've got to cross over, and you've got to press in. And you've got to ask for what I'm telling you in your word. This is yours. And today, I felt I needed to cross over and say, this is difficult for me to say, because maybe you think, I don't know what you think. There's something wrong with Jolene. She shook. But what I know is God told me, I want fear of man out of your life, because you cannot take that to the promised land. You will be too intimidated and you won't be able to see me. So I want to ask you this morning, Mallory, maybe you can come up. As we end, I'm going to pray for us. I feel that you know what your promised land is. Promised land, your promises, prophetic promises, what God is, your dreams, what God has put in your heart to do. I feel that for some of us, you can maybe close your eyes just to make it easier to focus on God. I don't want you to focus on me. For some of us, there's been dreams that I feel God has placed in our hearts. Dreams for what I'm dreaming my family will look like one day. Maybe you don't even have a spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend yet. But I feel God is saying, don't let it go. Don't let those dreams die. feel for God is saying, for some of you, you've been dreaming of owning a house. That's maybe a little bit weird, but owning a place where you can invite people, where you can host people. And the challenges have just been too many and too big, and you've just let it go. For some of us, you're like me. You're just really hungry for more of God. You just really want more of Him in your life. You're just so hungry for all of Him. And He's saying this morning, I want all of you. And He's saying, allow me to come in. Romans 12, verse 1, we've spoken about it 2 weekends in a row now at the evening services. God is saying, I want your body as a living sacrifice. And that doesn't mean I just don't want you to do certain things. It means I want your body. I want to come and indwell your body because I want to flow through you. My kingdom, my power must come through you. Through your hands, you will heal the sick. You will cast out demons. Not because it's you, but because my power, my Holy Spirit is in you, in your body, not just in your mind. Also, Father, for some of us, there's you're trusting God for physical healing. You're saying, God, you've promised, my promised land is full of health, and I want to invite you and say, we're going to pray for physical healing this morning. I specifically felt for eyesight. We spoke about perspective and viewing the way God views things, but there's some of us that actually have physical problems with their eyes that God is going to heal this morning in Jesus' name. So for some of us, God is saying, I want to come and heal you. I want to bring your body into your promised land almost. Perfect health. That's His promise for us. Then the last one is there's some of us that we just don't have God's perspective on certain areas of our lives. The challenges are just too many. We're just struggling to see, and I feel God is saying, get in that Ferris wheel with me and let's go up. So if that's you, our imaginations are from God. I want you to imagine getting into that little basket and going up the wheel with Jesus. The music is getting softer and the noises are getting softer as you go up. And I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me Jesus' perspective on my situation. Then the final thing I felt we must do is a prophetic act. So if God has spoken to you today and said, this is a new season for you, I want you, bless you, to cross over. It's like an open door. The door is open. I want you to cross over. It's your decision whether you're going to cross over or not. And I want to encourage you to raise your hand. If you're saying, God, I'm crossing over. I'm not staying in this wilderness any longer. I am crossing over into what you have for me in every area of my life. If you've raised your hand, I want to encourage you to stand up. We're not going to come all to the front because it's basically the whole church. But what I felt we must do is a prophetic act. And in the natural, it might not make sense, but I felt God saying, we're going to all, on the count of three, take a step, and we are crossing over and saying, this year, God, I'm going for all that you have for me. In this season, God, I'm stepping over, I'm crossing in, and I'm saying, I'm taking it. It's a season for breakthrough for me. So if that's you, I'm going to invite you, those who want to stand with us. If you don't want to, you're more than welcome to sit down, no worries. So I'm going to count to three and then I'm going to pray for us. But as I get to three, I want you to take a big step forward. We're going to cross over together. One, two, three. So thank you, Father, that this morning you're saying the invitation is there. It's a new season. It's a new season for each of us, Lord God. Thank you that we can prophesy and say it's a season of breakthrough, for where breakthrough is needed, Lord God. Thank you, God, that as we crossed over, Father, it's a season where you will encounter us. God, that where we will taste and see that you are good, that your kingdom will come and we will know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that peace and joy will be experienced in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, in our businesses, God. Thank you, Father, that this morning, Father, we can prophesy and speak to our giants and say, you are my bread. You are not intimidating me because I see you the way Jesus sees you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.